Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this groundbreaking of the End Zone SEC show. I am your host, Jeremy North. Hope you guys enjoy all the other fun ventures that Impact Media sends your way every week. If you're not, you know, you can always hit us at 3endzone@gmail.com. Give us suggestions, thoughts of things you want to do, people you want on the show. We'd love to hear some. But as I said, today we are talking SEC, and before we get into it, we want to introduce the newest member of the End Zone crew, Mr. Joe Pimp. How are you doing today, Joe?
So far, so good.
I think we could all be doing a little bit better, but it could always be worse.
Yes, certainly.
But you know, as I said, we are going to get into at least every couple weeks leading up to the season, we'll try to get into some SEC talk and give you guys some previews of your favorite team. So if there's a team you want us to talk about, or if you felt we didn't get a great pick to your team, send us a message. We're on Facebook and Twitter as well. @3endzone or @impact99 or tell us about your Twitter.
@chiefahab, two E's. You will not find me on Facebook. I'm a CIA tool and I will not be a part of it.
I think I'm already on that list, so I'm not worried about it.
Hey, I'm on the list too, but I'm not going to help you.
But definitely, if you guys want to give us a shout out, or like I said, if you think we didn't give a fair shake to your team, give us a reason why. Maybe we'll rehash it out and see what it is. But, you know, today we will preview the Auburn Tigers, or as a lot of people called them last year, the luckiest SOBs in the SEC. But before we get to those, you have some SEC news that kind of happened in the offseason.
Not so much in the offseason. Looking for, I don't know what author it was or who wrote it, but they were kind of rating players by their best intangibles and whatnot. And I saw that the Prescott guy from Mississippi State voted to have the best arm out of all the quarterbacks in the conference.
I mean, I realize that they did, you know, conference just graduated arguably one of their best quarterback crops they've had in a while. 3, 4, 5 big-time guys that could start a game in the NFL. But to say that this guy still got, I mean, we're going to get into Nick Marshall later. He's got a pretty good candidate among, I don't know, 75 other people. What, Driscoll in Florida? A lot of these guys have good arms.
I'm not sure how they even know. They throw, what, 8 times a game? Mullins offense?
Yeah.
Because they can't.
Right.
They can't do anything but.
I mean, it's like the college version of a New York Jets offense. It's just
with Tebow.
Right. Yeah. Let's run the ball 99 times, and then once we're gonna have him throw a pass, and we're gonna get mad when he doesn't complete it.
Yeah, and I kind of think of that offense as a poor man's Malzahn offense.
Right.
Although, you know, that if he had more success in Florida, that might be a product of the Florida players. Because it hasn't translated to the Bulldogs. They think a great season is 7-6, which, you know, might be great for Ole Miss, might be great for Mississippi State.
It does look good.
I mean,
so speaking of Ole Miss, they had Bo Wallace as the most accurate in the conference.
I guess they're. I'm not gonna say they create their own press, but in a way, they're kind of, you know, letting everybody know that there are other teams in the SEC besides the top.
Well, he is a beautiful man. He has a great head of hair. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
He's probably accurate with the comb and the hairspray. But as far as with the football, I don't know where they saw that.
I mean, spring practice is spring practice. It's like a pro day. It's like it's the most controlled environment you can get.
Yeah. I mean.
Even we would look like, you know, top-notch guys in a setting like that.
Yes. Best hands, Amari Cooper. Can't really go against that. He's got good hands.
Yeah, but, you know, we can actually back that up on some sort of factual evidence. Like these other guys, there's nothing to look at.
That catch he had against that blue and white team last year. The one-handed catch. I mean, this is a video feed. I can pull it up for you.
Right.
You know which one I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. We'll have our staff guy track that down and throw it up on the website.
Yeah. God, I'm trying to do it. stadium in Georgia State, but I don't think they're blue and white.
Yeah, they were in West Georgia, which would probably be another. It might have been Georgia State. It was somebody
it was
around here.
Some lame guy.
Might have been Georgia Southern University.
Maybe. It was a different color blue. Nonetheless, hardest to tackle. Todd Gurley. Can't really argue with that.
I mean, he's between him and Marshall, one or the other is going to pull way ahead of the other one this year.
Yeah, I think Marshall will have a hard time. Probably with conditioning. I don't know how when he recovers, if he waited 5 weeks after the injury to have surgery.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's nowadays, guys are back in 8 months, so it's really depends on genetics, I guess.
Right.
I'm sure he has a better surgery. The top rusher in defense, Dante Fowler Jr. from the Gators.
I don't know the kid's a beast, but he's a terror coming off
the top rusher.
He could have 200 sacks in the year and they still lose every game.
That kind of dovetails the best cover guy. Vernon Hargrave III on the same defense.
Kind of weird that, what the other nine guys must not be very good.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
But once again, it is this guy's opinion, and maybe he's on to something that we don't know about. Yeah. Maybe he saw something like, hey, they just had bad years, or they didn't have the right people around them, but those guys graduated or quit or got suspended or transferred teams.
But that's not really a subjective term.
Right.
That's being the best. At some point, be the man, you got to beat the man. That's a quote. Great, great player.
Absolutely.
Right off the bat. Best deep threat, Coach from Auburn. I can't really dispute that.
It's hard, too, because there was a lot of highlights that we all saw last year that Auburn runs a long way.
I think that's because the mirror is involved with the miles on offense.
Right.
Because the misdirect is going to open it up.
And to be fair, was he the one that got the famous double bulldog push?
I've actually put that out of my memory, so I couldn't tell you.
I feel like it was. It happened to me when I was in Jacksonville.
His long was 72 yards last year, so
okay.
That might have been the play.
And by all means, anybody that was in Jacksonville at that particular Buffalo Wild Wings establishment knows that I called that about 30 seconds in advance. That I just happened to see the way the defense was playing, and they showed a screenshot of like the plays before. If they double him, they need to knock it down. Do not try to catch that ball. It's going to flip up in the air. He's going to run it down the field. Everybody thought I was insane, and I know it looks like I'm making it up now, but no joke, I actually said that, to which the guy decided that I will pick up the ball if that happens from now to the end of the game. And 2 plays later, it happened, and I had the
crown of Coke all around.
I had the triple nachos, I believe, at that point, that I had not eaten. And I actually I was nice enough to pick up the
cabinet
and two people around me.
Yeah.
That guy had quite a bit.
Well, I'm glad someone got some joy out of that terrible play.
It wasn't good back home. When I got back home, people were still reeling from that, like, oh, my God, did you see that? Oh, I saw it. But
yeah.
I was surrounded by Gator fans when I saw it, and they're pretty happy.
Yeah. Well, they had a couple other categories, best left-footed punter, things like that. Those are the ones
Bob Uecker-Staff, as I call
it. Right. I didn't really feel the need to memorize or write those down.
No, because I think we're going to know the best punter by about 6 seconds.
Yeah. So, pretty much competition for the conference. I feel it's going to be more of the same. It's going to be LSU and Alabama in the West, maybe with a little bit of Auburn mixed in. That's going to be Georgia and South Carolina in the East.
With South Carolina with about a hair edge right now, I think.
Maybe.
But, I mean, we'll get more into that as we preview their teams.
I like that, as far as that matchup is concerned, Georgia gets to have a bye before that game this year. South Carolina does not. So, maybe it doesn't make that big a deal.
And to be fair, by the time they actually do play, most of UGA's players will be back from suspension.
Or start for Louisville, if you don't know.
Or Auburn for that
matter. Well, yeah, maybe. You know, as far as people with Florida, Bill Steele and all his knowledge picked him to go 10-2. And, you know, if I drank coffee, I would spit it out when I heard it. But I thought that was a bit of a stretch.
It's possible, but
yeah, it is.
Is it probable? Probably not. I mean, not even looking at their schedule. I even have it pulled up in front of me. Just a little bit I've read and dug into this and just us going back and forth. Legitimately, even before we break the team down, they're probably going to have 4 to 5 losses.
Well, yeah, that's not realistic. You're not going to have a 6-win turnaround when one of those losses was Georgia Southern at home. There's a lot more to fix. And they had the best rusher and the best cover in that last year when that happened.
Yeah.
So, and that's about, there could be a bigger overview than getting the zoo and how they might have a chance to something. Their schedule's going to be tough. As far as All-American, I thought this was funny. From the same writer, by the way. 7 All-Americans in the SEC. I don't know if this guy picked them. I don't know if he went off the list. I don't like preseason lists at all.
Right.
7 All-Americans in the SEC. Florida State has 5.
5 of 7?
No. Florida State has 5 All-Americans. The Southeastern Conference has 7. So I don't know. Seems like the writers just playing darts.
Right, and they like to play homework for whoever the returning champion is.
Yeah.
Which you know, FSU will be quite good this year. Still, they didn't lose that much, but you know, it's still going to be a challenge. We're finally in the first year of the playoff.
Yes. And
which, if you're an SEC fan, I will pray for you at your spots, because the way the SEC is structured and the way the competition level is rising every year and parity, you know, everybody parodies everybody else. Don't look for more than a team to be in. If it is, they are dang lucky they only have 2 losses.
Right. And then you got to look at the way it's laid out, the format. Alabama's got 2 recent national championships, 1 SEC championship. So the way it's laid out is just, it ain't going to work out to where you got Alabama and LSU playing.
No.
It won't be that at all.
No. It's actually going to be more spread out. Let's move the rest of the league a little better and maybe wait for players coming out of high school to go to other schools. But, I mean, you might see a return of those games in the Penn State, the USC's, and UCLA is building up pretty well. And you'll see a lot more of the Pac-10s and the Midwest Conference USA. But, yeah, SEC fans, just, you know, go ahead and get the box of tissues ready if you need be. It's not going to look pretty when the playoffs comes around.
Well, no, I mean, and I don't know, say take Auburn, for example. They've got to go on the road week 3 and play Kansas State. Now, they scheduled that before they came up with the playoffs.
Right.
They're not going to go for that anymore, because that does them no good if there's a playoff again.
Exactly.
Like Kansas State was just 8-5. But still, it's a Thursday night game at Kansas State. And you know that they're going to be fired up, because Kansas State hopes will still be, you know, it's week 3, so they'll still have hope.
Yeah.
So it's a tough place to play at. You know, Snyder, he's no slouch. He prepares well, and he usually pulls off 1 upset a year.
I mean, it's that whole Snyder-State theory.
Yeah.
As much as I hated my Wolverines to go down like that, it was just the situation was perfect for it. And there's always these teams that look every year, who are we going to knock off?
Yeah.
And can we get up to the level where our competition's on that level? Who are we going to knock off?
Right. And, you know, continuing with Auburn, they've got to play South Carolina at home. No doubt, right? Remember, winning 11 games again. They got LSU at home, and they got Mississippi State.
And Mississippi State, I mean, there, you know, no team in SEC is really a slouch. Anybody has the opportunity and the, you know, the competition level to beat another team. But, I mean, that's another one where Mississippi State looks around and goes, you know, we're third on the best day we can have this year. Mm-hmm. We're third in the division. But if we can knock off a couple of these guys, then maybe we get a couple more recruits and jump up.
Right. And that's, you know, that's what they need. And I know that those are conference games that probably really can't do anything about.
Right.
But that just kind of goes to my point that they're not going to go to Kansas State. They're not going to have those early season matchups.
We're going to start seeing a lot more cupcake games.
Yeah, because they've got to go to Georgia this year. Which, you know, a lot of people might not think that's much. But by that time, it'll be a big game.
You know, playing between the heads is not easy. Even for UGA, it's a rough place to play sometimes.
No, it's tough to play at home.
It's a very rough place. I mean, you know, it's just a lot of pressure to play between heads like that. It's not like you play I was able to go up there and see the UGA Clemson game last year, which was really cool. Didn't quite turn out the way I thought it would, but at the same time, that stadium is built. The way they play, the way their fan base is, the same way the Seahawks in the Pro League have that set up for the 12th man. It's like that place is set up and it's home field advantage. Where up in Athens, it's not necessarily home field advantage.
Well, no, you know, a lot of these Auburn guys used to have a locker
right
in that stadium.
A good handful of them.
Yeah, so it's not really going to be that big of a stretch for them.
Yeah, you know, as we get into talking about breaking down some of their roster and stuff, let's start with, we can either start with the top Auburn player in most people's opinion, or we can start with the newest Auburn Tiger, whichever.
You know, we've got the most to say about the quarterback. Let's go with Trey Matthews. With his, unfair about his departure from Athens. Preseason 13, Wallace. For some reason, one interception against North Texas last year, and I can think of 20 to 22 out of position plays, but nonetheless, he's still 13. I'm sure he got a piece of paper in the mail congratulating and all that, and I don't know if he's going to come in and start. I don't know if he's going to come in and play. What's that position?
Their star position. Which is interesting because it creates it basically keeps him in a full-time nickel package, basically, the same way that the Falcons in the league do, because the way the SEC lines up, they have three or four receivers set, they pretty much have to stay in the nickel. So what they did, they got their two corners, they got their two safeties, then they got pretty much the fifth guy, you know, the fifth point of the star here. I guess maybe that's why he's called the star, the 5-point star, and he's kind of the center fielder where he has the free reign to go where he needs to go.
And I don't know if Ellis Johnson did that based on necessity last year or if it's something he's always wanted to do.
Well, and
as far as creating that new position, because they were still 100% nation in the past.
Right.
So it didn't help much.
And they have, you know, arguably one of the best players in that particular position. Even though they created the position, the starting position, Robinson Theresa, who is a returning senior.
That name as well.
I mean, he's
a player to watch.
Yeah, if you ever see it, I mean, he's a Richard Sherman-like guy. He can take over and shut somebody down.
Yeah.
I mean, don't think, you know, I like comparing the pro guys, and most people can relate to that. I mean, he's not Richard Sherman, because Richard Sherman has to be a lone player. Darrell Reeves had to be the guy because there was nobody else beside him
right.
to shut down.
Right.
Where the Legion of Boom in Seattle won a Super Bowl because they shut down everybody. Well, this kid is probably going to go be that guy in a tough hurry next year anyway. But he has super good speed. His cover skills are real great. But the best thing he's at is he turns it into the quarterback of the defense.
Right.
He becomes the shot caller and knowing where people should be.
Oh, that's someone Bill Belichick picked up right away. He'll get him in the fourth, fifth round and have him in a Pro Bowl in 3 or 4 years. This is his talent.
Absolutely.
So, piggybacking off the Athens to Auburn pipeline, Nick Marshall, you know, everyone preseason high. I don't know if he's a favorite, but he's definitely in the top three.
He's in my top five, and that's not just because I've read articles that said so, because I've read articles that said otherwise, but from what I see, and knowing that last year he was limited because he didn't know a lot of the playbook, he was just new to the system because of transferring.
Yeah, he was 14 14-6. Well, it might have been 14. I think it was 14-8.
Right.
To the interception.
Right. Which is not bad for somewhere that doesn't throw the ball very much.
Right.
But because of who graduated, because of who they brought in, because of the kind of new style they're opening up, they're opening up a lot more plays now.
Yeah.
They're going to kind of let Nick Marshall be Nick Marshall.
Oh, yes. I mean, he was under 60% passing, but most of his throws are 15 yards and beyond.
Right.
Like, you know, you got to
get really good.
Alabama doesn't press the ball
right
far. They're not going to take as many chances because they've got just a totally different style.
Right.
But when Auburn passes the ball, they've got a man wide open, like Coach, going down the sideline for, you know, 20, 25 yards of catch without
really
having to make a move.
Exactly. I mean, between Bray and Williams and Coates, and then they have so many.
Well, the,
you know, so many just speed demons.
Top two wide receiver core in the country. I think they're eight.
I mean, you can argue them in the top five, but top ten I think is very accurate.
Yeah.
They can run with anybody.
Yeah. And then, you know, running, their top five backfield is, I think it was number three in the country, even though they lost Mason.
Exactly. Well, and that's something I was going to bring up. That's a good chance to bring up, is that as we get into some of these guys that they lost, either because of graduation or lost to the draft, as good as a lot of these players are, as good as Trey Mason, Greg Robinson, a lot of
okay
these guys was the left tackle there, or
double
in the NFL. A lot of these guys
like
they lost, as good as they are replaceable.
Yeah.
It's not like when Alabama lost to Joe Jones a couple years ago, it took them 2 years to find another guy like that because
right
they just didn't have him on the roster.
Well, yeah, they've got seven returning starters on offense, which is a blessing or a curse. It depends on how much playing time they got. I know they rotate offensive linemen, not on a regular basis, but, you know, like some of these squads do with defensive linemen. They play 70.
It's just the norm.
Yeah, and that's the style of play. They,
if you have the fresher guy, you typically win the battle.
Yeah, it helps them out a lot.
You can almost make up for a lack of talent at certain levels. I'm not saying Auburn has a lack of talent. You can almost make up for maybe the other guy is better, but he's been on the field for 10 plays.
Yeah,
my guy just came on.
Yeah, that, you know, they recruit very well outside of the state.
Yes.
Because they're up against it in the state.
They actually, of the state of Arkansas, 24 guys that recruited and signed, I believe, 12 of them from the state of Georgia.
Oh, yeah. They,
I mean, they do well in Georgia as well as Alabama.
Yeah, they continue to raid Georgia.
Yeah, a couple from Mississippi, like one from Florida, but it struck me as odd over that about 50% of them were from Georgia, and it's what I bring up all the time, that Georgia schools need to keep them in-house.
Yeah.
But I understand, too, it depends on your school. You want, you know, if you need a run blocker, you get the pass blocker, and you don't feel like you can convert him.
Or
the same way, try to get him. Right.
Marshall was a quarter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was supposed to cover the guys he's now throwing to.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And Rick
sometimes
refused to make him a quarterback. He said, no, Murray's our guy. Mason's the guy behind him. And, you know, you should be third and
third. Yeah,
we need you better here because you're so athletic. You know.
Like they did with J.J. Green, he's going to start at safety. He was third on the team in rushing last year. Might have been second on the team with all the injuries.
I believe he was,
yeah. So, what I've seen, Arden Payne is going to be the running back that's going to step in
right
and fill Mason's shoes.
And from what I hear, like I said, you lose Trey Mason's great. I mean, he could arguably be the next Eddie Lacy in the NFL as far as just the...
Well, I like to say he's using too. So
yeah, yeah.
I'm always a big deal when I was growing up.
Exactly. Big throwback to some of our big fans here.
Yeah.
And if you did get that reference, thank you. But if you didn't, there's a thing called Wikipedia. You should look it up. In fact, YouTube would actually be better. Artis Payne, it's not just because he's a senior and he's been in the system for a couple of years. It's because this regime has been here for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can go, well, he's a veteran of the regime. Nobody is at this point.
Well, I don't know that, given the timing of it, Malzahn might have recruited him before he went to Arkansas State.
Possible.
I don't know the timing of it.
It's true. And for us to dig into that, we probably...
He might be a redshirt freshman. A redshirt senior. Then you could probably rest assured that Malzahn did recruit him. That's why he's so ready to step in. Mason had an incredible 3-4 game run at the end of the season.
Oh,
absolutely. I mean, we're not taking away from Mason because Mason was – I mean, he was in the Heisman race for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid can straight up run, and very rarely do running backs win it anymore.
Well, they should have won the national championship on his back.
Oh, absolutely. But it just – you know, we can say they were 13 seconds away, but we could also say they were two pretty lucky plays or a great return from actually not making it.
Well, the return – that's what I was going to say. The return in that national championship game is what brought Florida State back.
Exactly.
And they had
set up the whole thing.
And they had a senior kicker, which is not going to be there. Senior punter was gone. And, you know, whatever number Mr. Number 11 was, I forget his name.
The returner.
The returner.
Yeah.
The ran back the field goal for Alabama. He's gone. That might open up a third of the game that they're going to have to really compensate for.
It's not that we're really trying to give the small guy press time or anything like that because we don't play politics with our stuff. But, you know, they are starting, you know, the new kicker is Daniel Carlson, a freshman. Jimmy Hutchinson, who is from Carrollton, by the way, shout out to all of you from Carrollton. He's also a freshman. He's going to be the plug. As far as kick return and
they'll plug somebody in there.
They got a couple of seniors, a couple of the wide receivers and stuff, you know, Quan Gray or Corey Grant. Some of those guys that they can plug in, but yeah,
whatever team you're a fan of, remember when you had a freshman kicker and a freshman punter.
Exactly.
And how great that was.
It's going to be scary, but at the same time, you know, Georgia just went through this. And you're gonna have a lot of great ups. You're going to go, wow, this kid's really cool. He can really boom it, or man, he can hit it from anywhere. He can hit the upright from anywhere. And then you're going to have those instances where you're like, what was that?
When he kicks the ball and it goes out of the picture on my 42-inch TV. Soon as he kicks it, it could hit the broadside of a barn.
Even in HD, we can't find the ball.
Correct. So you got to watch out. You know, like you're saying with UGA and their freshman kicker, 2 years ago, you couldn't go get a beer after a touchdown because you had to make sure they hit the extra point.
Exactly.
They missed 8 extra points that year. I don't know how many field goals. Now, next year, he turned it around. And he might have been All-American. I'm not sure. He was All-Conference.
Yeah, he was All-Conference for sure.
I think he missed 2 kicks. But so there's growing pains involved with the freshman kicker because,
well, they've never kicked on this level.
Maybe he's listening to us now, and we put the thought into his head right now.
Yeah.
And, you
exactly.
Know,
so,
practice hasn't started, and he's already like, I'm a freshman kicker, and I'm in trouble.
So, you know, nothing personal, Daniel Carlson or Jimmy Hutchinson, once again, shout out to our Carrollton people. But, you know, if you screw up, don't blame us.
Yeah.
We're not trying to jinx you here.
Yeah,
no bad juju from us.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of opportunities to offset for points.
Oh, absolutely. You're not going to hit them all.
No.
It's just,
and they're going to score a lot.
It's the law of averages. You're not going to hit them all.
Yes, that's true. So on that, they've got 6 returning starters.
These are all good numbers compared to most other teams in college, let alone just the SEC. A lot of them are not returning even as much as 3.
They lost key defensive backs. Already weak defensive backfield. 100th in passing was their rank. 100th against the pass last year. Which,
that's rough.
Well, consider the way they played, they were out front.
Right.
So that might be because teams couldn't run as much because they were playing catch.
Well, and
so maybe you can take that from 75 or whatever because they were in the star position the whole time.
Right.
At star man.
If you look at, they had a lot of really bad numbers giving up big chunks of yards, big size, but where their defense really stepped up and really just brought the hammer down was their goal line defense and forgot the other thing. The thing they were like second, third in.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if it was nationally or if it was just in the Southeast, but it's just they let you go on again 75-80 yards. But when you got into the red zone defense, between the red zone defense and the goal line defense, you weren't gonna score them.
Right.
They just you had to score from outside.
So the turnover on defense. That word kind of leads me into this next thing I was going to talk about.
Sorry, I remember the last thing. Not to interrupt you, but the other thing was that their defense, I don't think, scored a lot of points.
I doubt it. That's going to go right to what I was saying. They will need to improve on four seasons. They were plus 0 for the year.
For people that don't understand that particular stat, that is god awful.
Yeah,
that is, you don't want to tell people that that's your stat.
Yeah, you're not going to
know. You might as well tell people you threw 30 interceptions in 10 games.
Well, Jordan we have to hear about it. I can say I'm driving to work and I'm not even listening to sports talk, but it's on.
Exactly.
And I got to hear Chuck Dowdle talking to Chip Towers about, you know, Georgia's starting center in basketball.
By the way, we love you, Chuck, and it was really awesome meeting you.
I love Chuck.
A year ago. I mean, it's awesome, but and I understand I had the same conversation with Zach, what's the name from WSB? Zach. I can't hear his name right now.
How about when he tried to stick the microphone in the coin toss?
Yeah.
At the bowl game, and that referee told him, get out of here.
What are you doing?
Yes, I thought that was pretty cool that he just assumed that he could go out there. But it goes back to what I was saying. Pretty much I thought their advantage was special teams last year. Tied into Georgia, Georgia had a great offense. And a poor defense. Now, Auburn had a great offense. Led the nation number one in rushing per game. 385.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the running back. They had trick plays involved with the wide receivers. And you had Nick Martin.
He had 1,200 yards.
Right.
1,900 yards passing.
He's not a Michael Vick. He's not a run-first quarterback. He just designed plays to where even if the check down is not open, he's in the lane, Nick Martin can run.
Yeah, so they're going to have to compensate for the lack of experience, so to speak, on special teams. And I think they can actually create that opportunity by forcing more turnovers. And I know Ellis Johnson, he's probably saying the same thing.
Right.
To himself, we got to force more turnovers.
I mean, it's just, especially the way people match up in college nowadays, you're going to, even if you're favored in matchups, if you can't create at least three timely turnovers, you're not going to win the game.
Right, because, you know, the people that were a victim of their circumstance last year, you know, some call it luck, some I don't call that Alabama play luck. That was just being prepared.
That was a sharp heads-up play.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of luck involved, but, you know, I'll let you break it down the way you were saying. But, yeah, it was not as much luck as you think it was.
Yeah, well, you know, think about the kick team. You know, people are probably saying, yeah, I know what you're talking about. People may not know what I'm talking about.
The goal line team, basically.
Yeah, you've got the biggest, slowest guys on the field all in a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kick the ball 60 yards away from them, and they're trying to catch some dude with, it may not be world-class speed, but it's SEC starting speed, which is pretty good. And
he's running at least a 4.5 40, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah. And you got guys running 5.2, 5.3, which you think they would have a head start, but they're running 60 yards towards them and across the field.
Right.
It was just set up for failure, and that was just, I'm sure that Stetson was still kicking himself for attempting that. Maybe he thought he couldn't win in overtime and wanted to take a chance there.
I mean, I love the effort because usually he does play it safe, and everybody gets after him for it. So the one time he doesn't play it safe, it blows up in the face, so he can use that if he wants. And I applaud the effort, and nothing personal I'm about to mention, but I almost feel like he wishes Lane Kiffin would have been a coach at that point because he could have went, well, Lane said it was a good idea.
Yeah.
And Lane's one of those guys that he's so edgy in the way he tries to do things that it's kind of mutton streak sometimes that he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Where he knows very much what he's doing, just sometimes he doesn't have the personnel to pull off what he's trying to do.
Yeah. He's
But recruiting eighth graders is supposed to be helpful.
Well, you got to start him young.
Yeah, eighth grade's a little, I mean, you don't know what that kid's going to do.
You don't know what that kid's going to do. No. He could be the son of Joe Montana. Well, maybe not him. He would be in the handout.
You're better off going for like the son of Randy Cross or something, who is a heck of a ball player.
Yes. But like you said, that's a bit young for him.
I'm not saying that it was a bad taste for doing that like that. You know, I applaud the effort for going outside the box. It's just, even he made a big deal out of it, and he could have just kind of went, yeah, we kind of did that, whatever.
Yeah. And so, that's what I think they need to do to improve.
Right.
Not that they fell off, hell, they were, like you said, seconds away from being off.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to compensate. I think one of the things they'll do is they're going to be more aggressive going down the field with the pass. Because they've got a whole offseason of people watching their misdirection on the run and seeing how wide open, say, Coach was.
Yeah.
They keep bringing him up, but apparently he's the most dangerous.
He's their guy.
So Miles Hall's going to find someone else. So they're going to be more aggressive going down the field. And Marshall, he won't have 1,900 yards passing. He'll be over 2,500.
Oh, absolutely. He's gonna have some good line. You know.
Yeah.
He's gonna have some.
Now that's gonna equate to more turnovers.
Right.
More interceptions, which kind of goes back to what I was saying about the defense. They're just gonna have to strip that off.
Yep, they're gonna have to.
I mean, Lawson. There's no stopping that guy. He was good last year. He's going to be better this year.
Who's supposed to line on the other side? Owens, Ladarius Owens, probably.
Opposite from Auburn?
Yeah, they're probably going to run Owens or Gimel President, probably. Which are good options, but you need the bookends, and I'd like to see if Owens can step up to the plate and at least be a two-thirds option.
Yeah.
And make it to where Adams or Wright coming through the middle are actually going to get a lot more sacks.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, that loss is going to be hard to stop. That's where it's going to start with them.
Oh, absolutely.
And the star player.
He's just a star, I guess. He's not really. Basically, they took their middle linebacker or their. Well, not really middle.
Their strong safety. They made him lose 10 pounds.
Yeah, they took the third linebacker and made him.
Like Ogletree.
Right.
When he was a recruited as a safety.
Exactly.
Now he's a linebacker starting in the NFL.
Okay, good. On one of my favorite defenses.
That's
another discussion.
Yeah, that's going to be a hell of a deal.
There's a reason why I picked them as a team to watch last year. Because yeah. They are fun to watch.
They weren't in the West.
They're in an awful division. Because they're in a division with three of the best defenses. But once again, another day, another time.
Yes.
But to me, the guy who, and maybe it's just his name, but the guy who stands out to me, that has the NFL-style name, and he plays a really awesome game, is their middle linebacker, Casanova McKenzie. For one, it's fun to say. It rolls off.
Yeah.
You can just hear even Chuck Dowdle going, you know, Casanova McKenzie with a with the just bludgeoning of this line right here. You can just already hear the calls.
Yeah.
I can't wait to, you know, with SEC Network,
ESPN
started.
True.
Yeah. I mean, Tim Tebow is going to be talking about this. Yeah. Hopefully at some point.
About time to find out, isn't it?
But I mean,
what do we got? 45 days.
Maybe we'll send Tim a tweet and he can let us know how we can access that.
Well, he's in bed now. It's almost 10 o'clock.
Right. Probably so. you know, Tim, if you'd like to come on and tell us about it, that'd be great.
Oh yeah, sure.
We'd welcome you on. We'd love to talk to anything.
Hey, he's not a Gator anymore. He's a Jet to me.
I still like him as a Bronco.
He's all right, but I'm a Jet guy, unfortunately. One of the Falcons on that. But nonetheless. Well, the middle matters.
Oh, absolutely. He is.
You can't lose.
I mean, even though we say that Therese is the star and he's the general of the defense, at the same time, the shot caller is McKenzie.
Yeah, but see, the Therese is going to be moving around.
Right.
He's not a constant.
Right.
The man in the middle, you don't move the middle. The middle is the middle.
Right. He's the center fielder here, where McKenzie is not only the pitcher, he's the shortstop, he's the second baseman, and he's the head coach.
Well, yeah, and like Lawson can flip strong or weak.
Right.
Always the middle.
Right. And from back there, if he sees something, he can swap. You know, he can swap Lawson Owens around. No.
Yes. Yes. That's going to be a big deal.
And I think Malzahn's going to allow him to do that.
Yeah. Ellis Thompson he's a good coach. I would happy with who the Dogs brought in, but I wouldn't have been sad if they could have lured him away. I've always wanted Ellis, even when he was in South Carolina. I didn't like going against that nonsense.
But you know, given the parameters of breaking all this down and what we think they're good at, what we think they could improve on, you know, where do you see them in the division? How many games are you going to win?
I looked at it. And I'm a bit biased. I don't see any more than 8 victories. I see 4, not sure losses, but I see 4 losses.
I think that's fair.
I think KSU, give or take. I don't see them winning against Alabama again.
If they do, it's going to be like when Texas A&M beat them a couple years ago, just a perfect storm.
Yeah. I don't see them beating LSU. I don't see them beating South Carolina.
You know, and like I said before we come on, and we'll break down LSU on another show, but I feel like LSU's due for a bounce back. And by bounce back, it's not that they've been slouches, it's just the other teams have been a little better than they have, but I feel like Les Miles is preparing them for war, and they're coming home.
Yeah, and that injury to Mettenberger.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good thing because it kind of let them see
what they had
to deal with. Kind of threw them in there with, I don't want to say no pressure, but they weren't going anywhere.
Right. It's just like in Florida with the Driscoll injury. Suddenly you can go down the depth chart and go, well, I'm going to give you a few checks. I'm going to give you a few checks. What do we have? Okay. I feel good about it.
Yeah. So those are the, I didn't label, I don't think they'll win in Athens either. So those are the 4 that I pretty sure they're going to lose. Kansas State going either way. Mississippi State is going to be tough. They always struggle with them.
It's,
like I said, Mississippi State's offense is kind of Auburn's offense, but slower.
Yeah.
And which doesn't sound like it would benefit Mississippi State, but it will keep the clock running and it will keep Auburn off the field.
Well, and a lot of times, think about, even personally, who's going to match up the best if you were to pick an opponent to match up best in a fight against against yourself, who would you pick? Well, the best person is somebody who fights better than you, because you're not going to know how to necessarily do it.
Well, see, because you can have Mullen sitting in on the defensive meeting
in
the week leading up to it. Like, I know this isn't quite the exact same offense we run, but this is what I think would happen.
Here's their twist on it.
Yeah.
This is what I think could happen.
Yeah, 8-4, third in the West. I mean, that might sound like a bad year. It's, if you think of where they were 2 years ago, with two victories,
it's amazing, but
I think it brings them back down to
earth. I think it does, and we're starting to, I'm not saying they caught lightning in the bottle last year because they earned a lot of the things they did. I'm not going to say that it was complete luck.
But LSU handled them last year.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it's in Auburn this year, but I'm just not a believer. I'm biased. I'm just not a believer in Auburn. They struggle early in the year.
Yeah.
For some reason, they always struggle early. What was that game? What was it? Chizik second to last year, where they had to squeeze out 14 points in the last 5 minutes. The onside kick. Onside kick to come back and win it.
Right.
Wasn't that Mississippi State? Second game of the year? They were down 10 with like a minute and a half left.
Right.
And they had to squeeze out an onside kick to come back. They just struggle early.
It's hard to make a living playing for mine.
Right. And, I know each team is a new team, but it's just funny to have the same team do the same shit over and over.
Right.
Look at the Braves.
Yeah.
Let's go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Go with something different.
Yeah.
Great in the regular season. On average, look at them since 91.
They get to the playoffs and grab the bed right there.
Yeah.
They don't
waste time. They do it the first round.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not. You won't get your hopes up.
It's like, no, you don't have to wait for the elephant's worth to open that.
Yeah, it's just hard to break habits. And, that offense has got a lot of moving parts. And you can only practice
and
stuff.
And
so
they're
much.
Still trying to recover from what I call the Chip Jones era. They had the great pitchers that moved on. They have some great pitchers that build now. They have a really good staff and all that. But
they got James Andrews.
Yeah. He doesn't just do wrestling surgery, apparently.
Yeah.
He also fixes RG3's knee and a shack. But that's a completely different thing as well. But, with the SEC, it still is the best division. But it's the best division because you're going to get the best conference games.
Yeah.
The Big Ten's still a mess. There's only two or three great teams in there, and the rest of them are okay. The Pac-10 still building. The Pac-12 is doing okay. Midwest and some of those is the reason we haven't heard of any of those. Texas is going to be good a couple years, not now.
Oklahoma's pretty much.
The ACC is still a 3 or 4 team race for the most part, and it's going to continue to be that way because it's just hard to convince somebody to be an engineer.
You're talking about all the ones you've lost here, right?
Yeah. And see, those games are labeled as why I think they're going to lose. Most of those are
good games. On the other
That doesn't count the away game at Ole Miss. The away games are still away games in conference.
Yep.
Right.
Because
like we're saying, there's only a couple places in the SEC, probably in college in general, but only a couple places that are considered actually home field advantage.
Right.
For the most part, you might as well be on a neutral field.
Right.
No matter who's closer to the field or not like that. There's so many places that you can easily go in, and it doesn't matter what the crowd's doing. You can get a victory.
Kind of boils down to family history. Say I get a job in Mississippi. My family and I are going to Mississippi, but I'm still going to root for Georgia.
Exactly.
So when they come play at Mississippi State, we're going to be there. And it just adds up. And it's so, like you say.
We see it happen in Atlanta all the time. All the people that have moved here because of job situations.
Oh, watch the Cubs come play the Braves.
Yeah.
Or the Red Sox, which happened recently.
Or the Yankees. But the Red Sox are the worst, or I guess the best as far as that, because it's 3 or 4 to 1 Boston. But it's, Auburn
Auburn fans were not dumping on your team.
No, I'm not.
You had a great year. They're very exciting to watch. We're not trying to sugarcoat this. It's not, you know, it's me, not you. It's not that kind of thing. We're just, you know, trying to be real with it. We're trying not to live in fantasy land. And the SEC, as far as their schedule, is going to be rough this year.
Well, yeah. I think my bias has been a little bit tempered.
Yeah.
I'm very biased. I'll be the first one to tell you, but I've been...
Oh, trust me, when we get a UGA, I'm not going to pull punches either.
Neither will I, trust
you. You know...
It is not all flowers and sauce.
No, there are some times when you deserve to be on the bus. That's where you need to be, but, you know...
No, Auburn's a chance until they're knocked off.
I mean, we're staying 8-4, but, I mean, then again, I probably had them I had them about 6 or 7 wins last year, and, you know, they won a couple coin flips, and they were able to pull off the tip flip miracle, and they returned the kick on Alabama, which set up the national title game.
And at least they beat Missouri.
Yeah.
And at least they lost to Florida State, because that would not have been good for the state at all.
Because it wasn't good to begin with. It hurt them bad.
Yeah, I was really glad they stopped Missouri as they did, because I didn't think Missouri deserved to be there. No, they earned it.
Oh, yeah.
Record-wise. But it was kind of a little bit of a horseshit series in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just thought some of the games were won.
Well, that's kind of the nature of the beast, though, because if the best team wins every time, then there's no reason to watch.
Right.
And that is why we watch, and that is why we enjoy the SEC, and why that conference will cover with such things. But, you know, just kind of recap what we said. Auburn's looking at, honestly, I think they're going to be better this year than they were last year. But they're going to lose a few more games. They got a little different schedule. They've lost a couple key players. Easily replaceable, though, I think.
Well, that offense will all be moving parts.
Their offense is more about the system than it is the star.
Yeah.
So they won't have a problem with that. And, you know, the real question mark will be special teams because of the rookies and the new people they'll have to plug in there.
Yeah.
Because that was their strong suit last year. It saved a lot of games for them. Suddenly, you don't know what you're going to have.
And then defending backfield.
Yeah.
That's what I said. But like I said, they were 100, so maybe new guys might come in and they'll be 30th. If that happens, they'll be unstoppable.
They could run the table at that point.
Yeah.
But
that's why we watch, like you said, right?
Exactly.
And that's why we talk about it when there's, I don't know, 45, 46 days.
It's somewhere around there.
It's close.
It's getting close.
Well, we can count the Georgia State game on Wednesday if you'd like. But,
we should, you know. We'll count that one because, you know, a friend of the show, Harper LaBelle, who's been on one of our End Zone Falcon Zone show a couple times, he calls a lot of their games and all, and, you know, Georgia State's another one. We may dedicate a show to talking about them because not only are they a program that is suddenly people are taking notice of, they're going to go places soon. I think Kennesaw is like the new them, and they are becoming the new, I don't even know who you're comparing to, but they're going to be the new player on the block, and Kennesaw, as they build their station, is going to be the same thing.
Yeah, well, playing Alabama can't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
You get money, and you get to get beat up by someone.
You get to learn from better people.
Well, yeah, if you don't play the best, like you were talking about Phil Ivey.
Yeah.
If you're playing against the same guy you whoop week in and week out at the neighborhood game,
you're
never going to get better.
No.
So.
I always enjoy competing against people better than me or somebody who plays different, because it gives me an opportunity to improve somewhere.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, if you play against the same people that you know how to beat them all the time, then you become complacent and you can't get better. Auburn, like I said, is going to be better this year. They're going to learn from a lot of mistakes they made last year. But
they're going to make new ones.
Yeah. And at 8-4, they're going to be honestly the cookie cutter on how to build a great program in a couple years. And, I mean, maybe Florida should take a flyer on them as well. But, you know, 8-4, probably third in their division. At absolute best, I think they're second in their division, maybe with another win. But 8-4 is what we're looking at, and be happy about it.
I'll tell you what, if they go 8-4 and beat Alabama, they'll be happy as hell.
I think they'll be quite happy.
So.
You know, that's going to do it for us this week. I appreciate you guys tuning in. And I guess in closing, I want to say, always remember, if you lick the icing off a cupcake, it's a muffin. The muffins are good for you.
That's right.
They're quite good for you. Then just look at Starbucks and get a few muffins. But, for the
new one for me, I haven't heard that. I've heard a lot of them.
You gotta love Facebook. But for the new guy for now, Joe, I am Jeremy. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Yeah.